Scripture reading from this morning will take place from Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, shall not be seen when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and who hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings."
Thank you, brother, for that reading from the Word of God, from the prophet Jeremiah, giving a warning, cursing the man who trusts in mankind, and blessing the man who trusts in the Lord. If you have lived for a while and talked to several different people, you probably have recognized a couple of philosophies for raising children. On the one hand, you may adopt a philosophy that might be reflected in the statement, "Don't climb on that or you will fall," which would be a verbal warning. You may have encountered another person whose philosophy is, "Well, let them fall, and then they'll learn from that experience that they ought not to be climbing on that." So a verbal warning versus learning by experience, and maybe you kind of mix those together and use those as a philosophy to raise your children, possibly. And it raises the question about how well we've been taught to pay attention to warnings, and how well have we been taught to learn from the experiences of others? In looking at the concordance and looking at the word fall, some very interesting passages of Scripture presented themselves to me, and I thought you might benefit from a study of the word fall. And you may think, well, this is an interesting passage in Jeremiah 17 that speaks of a spiritual condition of men. Some may fall, some may rise in the sight of our God. And you may wonder why. Maybe it's a typographical error for there to be a question mark. Do not fall. But I'd like to, as our lesson goes forward, maybe for you to see why that question mark is really there. I have several points that I'd like to share with you in our lesson this morning, and I hope that you will be following along with me in the Scriptures. We're delighted that you're here, and we hope that you brought your Bible with you. We have visitors in our assembly. We're very happy that you are here. Very happy that you chose to worship God this morning and to be in our assembly, where we strive very, very hard to worship God in spirit and in truth, according to God's Word and with the proper spirit. It is our intention to do that this morning and to approach a study of His Word in a respectful and God-honoring way. Thank you so much for being here. In thinking about fall, there is a fall that Satan desires for men. That would include me. In Matthew 4 and verse 9, in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, he said to him, the devil saying to Jesus, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." The devil desired the Lord to fall before him in a worship, in an homage, in an honoring way. The devil, our adversary, desires the same thing of us. For us to fall before him, to worship him, to live according to his directives. In Matthew 7, 26 and 27, Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Satan certainly desires of us that we would not build our house, so to speak, on the foundation of the Word of God and our obedience to it. In Matthew 15, in verse 14, Jesus issues a warning to his disciples about the religious leaders of his day when he said, "Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into the pit." Satan certainly desires of us that we have a casual attitude about spiritual things, and we listen to the words of men and without comparing them with the Word of God, and whatever seems right to us, that we accept it and live according to it, being spiritually blind and following the spiritually blind, both will fall. And that's the fall that Satan desires. Luke 8 and verse 13 is another passage. "Those on the rocky soil," Jesus said, in the midst of this parable of the hearts, or parable of the soils, or parable of the sower, "those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away." And that's why Satan directs temptations toward men, so that they will fall away from God. They will fall further and further from the influence, the sphere of God reaching to man through Jesus Christ in His gospel. And they will ultimately be lost. These are falls that Satan desires for men to have. We as God's people should be warned by those things and do everything within our power to make sure that we do not fall according to the desires and the devices of our adversary in this life. There's another fall, and I would like to affirm to you, yes, do not fall. Do not fall away from God. There are some teachers in our world who teach that once an individual becomes a Christian, that it is impossible for him to fall away from God. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus, in this parable, that passage we looked at in Luke 8, in verse 13, in the parable of the sower, some believe for a while, but in temptation, Jesus said, they fall away. Wouldn't be right for me to come along and say, "No, Jesus, they could not fall away." Passages like Hebrews 6 and verse 6, in addition to this Luke 8 and verse 13, teach very clearly that yes, it is indeed possible for a Christian to fall away from his God. There are a host of other passages that show that. Do all that you can do to avoid falling as a result of the Lord's vengeance. If you will look with me in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 29, you will see that this warning is very clear. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 29, the Bible says, "How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and again, the Lord will judge His people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This fall being a fall into an area where the Lord will take vengeance upon you. We should do all that we can do to avoid falling into that area of vengeance of the Lord. And there are some warnings in the Bible that indicate to us that this matter of falling or not falling is under my control. Passages like 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And also, there is warning in the Scripture for us to be careful that we do not cause someone else to fall. In a passage like Romans 14 and verse 13, which says, therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Do not cause someone else to fall is the idea. So, I would affirm that, yes, in the Scriptures of God, there is this idea presented to men. Do not fall. Warnings presented to men. Do not fall. A concern and a care admonished to men. Take heed that you do not fall. Yes, the Bible teaches us. Do not fall. And in some way, in some measure, the fall under consideration, it is within my control. How can I prevent a fall? Would be a very good question for one concerned with not falling. I'd like to suggest to you first that the Bible says, believe and obey God's word from the heart, and if you do, you will not fall. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 4, if you will, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1, and see if your Bible does or does not teach that you can prevent a fall by believing and obeying God's Word. Hear the Word of God, Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those that heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from His works, and again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, He again fixes a certain day. Today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as been said before, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, they would have not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered His rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from His. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of what? Of disobedience. So this passage clearly shows us that if we believe God's Word, if we have that faith, and if we obey God's Word and not fall through disobedience, but if we obey God's Word from the heart, He will bless us and we will not fall. Another way to prevent falling, according to the Scriptures, is to increase the spiritual qualities of your life. I'd like to direct you to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. There's something here that God says to us that gives us, I think, don't you, a guarantee. Isn't that what he's talking about? If you practice these things in verse 10, you will never stumble. And to never stumble is to never fall. And to never fall is to never, in the resulting final analysis of things, to never be lost. Here's the key, isn't it? Increase the spiritual qualities in your life that are listed by Peter in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. How also can I prevent a fall? Peter also admonishes us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 17, Peter says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." There Peter gives the assurance again. For the one who is searching and seeking for the truth of God, who wants to have a relationship with God, who desires that his sins would be forgiven so that he may stand before the judgment of God, having every sin washed away and blotted out, and enjoy heaven forevermore. Peter says, you can do this. Men on earth can do this. Isn't that wonderful? Because of the blessings of God, He's shown us the way. And Peter shows us the way, doesn't he? Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And there are some other things in the Scripture that talk to us about preventing a fall. When Paul was writing to Timothy and showing the qualities of men that would be characteristic of them so that they could be elders in the local church, leaders of the people of God in a different locality. He says in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 6, not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. One who is conceited might fall into that condemnation. So in order to avoid falling into that condemnation, don't be conceited. Extinguish pride. Don't be prideful is the idea in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 6. Don't be filled with pride. And also, in that same context, there's another idea there about maintaining a good reputation before the public in the community where we live. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 7, and he must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. You see, there are warnings about falling, and these two go with one who is being considered to be an elder in a local church, but the principles are applicable to every Christian, are they not? To beware of pride. Pride goes before a fall, the wise man Solomon said. Maintaining a good reputation in public is certainly a good thing. Erase the priority to be rich. Erase the priority to be rich. That's not the same thing as saying, go out and quit your job. Give up any income that you may have. That's not the same thing as saying that. It's saying, what is your priority in life? Is your priority, number one priority, God, or is it to be rich in this life? If it is to be rich, you're headed for a fall. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said this in 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 9, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. We're trying to avoid ruin and destruction, aren't we? Certainly so. He goes on to say, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Why these warnings about wandering away from the faith and falling? Because they're very real. These conditions are real. They're warnings to us. And we can prevent falling by heeding those warnings. Erase the priority to be rich. Also, one more in this list of how to prevent a fall would be to speak words of honesty and truth at all times. James tells us in his short book, chapter 5 and verse 12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Ways to prevent falling are clear for us in the pages of God's Word, aren't they? And these are some of the ones that are there for us to be reminded of, please. Now you may see why I have the question mark behind do not fall. Because I want to tell you that, yes, there is something in God's Word that tells us something good about a fall. There are some positive things in the Word of God associated with fall. In Romans 11 and verse 11, through the fall of the Jews came an opportunity for the Gentiles to receive the gospel of Christ and be saved by it, thus provoking the Jews to jealousy, and that the Jews would give the more earnest attention to the things of God and the salvation offered by God. That might be a positive thing to consider about someone's fall. In Luke 2, verse 34 and 35, a statement made to the Lord's mother when he was an infant, a prophecy related to him, that this child is set for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. That the coming of Jesus Christ would usher in this kingdom of God, this new covenant, and in this ushering in, and the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it would present truth before men for them to make a decision about. And their hearts would be revealed by such a decision. And it would be known what type of people they truly are. And some would fall as a result, and others would rise as a result. When the Lord's disciples came back to him following a limited commission preaching tour in which they preached the gospel of the kingdom and healed many and cast out demons from demon-possessed people, the Lord made the statement in Luke 10 and verse 18, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." That type of fall would be okay with us, wouldn't it? The Lord there prefiguring the ultimate fall of Satan and his rule over death when Jesus would be resurrected from the dead. And as a result of that, as a following of that, offer the hope of resurrection from the dead for the people of God. So those might be some positive things associated with a fall. But here's a fall that I definitely want to do, and I'm sure that you do too. I want to fall down and worship the Lamb of God. Don't you? Isn't that why you're here this morning? Don't you want to fall down and worship the Lamb who died for you? Don't you want to fall down before God and worship Him? Like the 24 elders of Revelation chapter 4, when the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns down before the throne saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of you, because of your will, they existed and were created." Worthy is the Lamb. Don't you want to fall down before God and worship Him today? That's the kind of fall that I'd like to make. So as we contemplate fall or not fall, one other passage I'd like to mention to you, Matthew 21, beginning in verse 42, where Jesus said to his questioners, Did you never read in the Scriptures, "The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it's marvelous in our eyes"? Jesus said, Did you never read that Scripture? "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. But on whomsoever it falls, it will scatter him like dust." And the same passage is related for us in Luke's gospel account in chapter 20. Here Christ is the stone the builders rejected, but he became the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone was the stone that aligned all the other stones in a building. It set the scale for them. The leaders of Israel, the builders, rejected Jesus as the Messiah while building their own religious organization. They were unable to fit the stones at the corner of the building because they rejected the very stone that was cut for that purpose, the chief cornerstone being Jesus Christ. As Jesus is the stone, falling on him is coming into conflict with him, like many people did, and we can read about in our New Testaments. Being broken is the injury that fallers sustain as a result of coming into conflict with Jesus Christ. Jesus warned John against this when he said to him, "Blessed is he who does not take offense in me," in Matthew 11 and verse 6. The falling of this cornerstone upon a person symbolizes the power of Christ to utterly crush and utterly ruin forever those who reject the kingdom of God and God's rule in the hearts of men and women. And it's a powerful warning, isn't it? It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Passage we looked at in Hebrews 10 and verse 31. So as we contemplate fall or not fall, in view of our own lives for each of us today, we can go back to our very text from Jeremiah and use those words. "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord." And what about your heart today? Have you turned away from the Lord? If so, you're blessed today with the opportunity and the privilege to come back to Him. Reverse the fall. Return to God while time and opportunity is yours, because blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, and he will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. God's way is the way, the right way, the blessed way, the only way. Can we help you with that today? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? In that belief, are you willing to confess Him before men, to repent of sins, to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins like the Bible teaches, to live a new life faithful to God? Please think about that in serious terms. And if we can help you in your obedience to the gospel today, we would delight. Please, let us have the opportunity to do that. Please come to the front and let your request be made known while together we stand and encourage you by singing this song.